This girl. Is it possible that she killed him?
Possible. I suppose so.
But you don't think so? Or don't want to? You say she's racked with guilt.
For her thoughts. Nothing more.
My Lady Millicent.
Brother?
Come in from the cold. So how may I serve you?
My business is with the sister from Godric's Ford. Good day to you, sister.
Magdalene. What business can you have with me, child?
Sister, when you go back, I want to go with you. I've done with the world. I'm going to become a nun.
Dead Man's Ransom by Ellis Peters. Dramatized for radio by Bert Cools and narrated by Michael Kitchen. With Philip Maddock as Brother Cadvile, Jonathan Taffler as Hugh Beringer, and Susanna York as Sister Magdalene. Episode 4, Allies.
It is the year of grace 1141, and the mortuary chapel of Shrewsbury Abbey houses the body of Lord Gilbert Prescott, robbed and murdered by an unknown hand. On this cruel winter's day, with the air biting and the frost on its way, the abbey holds several souls who had no cause to love the dead man. It also shelters the beautiful Lady Mellicent, his daughter.
Done with the world?
That was my word.
Child, as long as you live and breathe, you'll not have done with this world.
But if I join the Benedictines...
We live in the same world as the souls beyond our walls, my lady.
You're young and fair and nobly born, and you want to abandon marriage, children, position, honours, everything?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Even if you're right in rejecting one man, that's hardly cause to reject them all.
I will have nothing to do with men. Never.
My dear, that cannot be. Not till the day of your death, even within the nunnery.
But surely if...
Bishops, abbots, priests, confessors, all men, and blood brothers to all mankind.
You can't escape from your part in humanity.
Then at least I can escape from love.
Love is the one thing you must never turn from. Without it, what use are we? And child, if that fire goes out, it can never be rekindled.
Sister, I have made my request. Will you grant it?
If your mother approves...
Brother is all she's concerned about. My father's heir. She'll not deny me.
Then come and be welcome. She'll be better out of here, away from the lad.
And you'll make sure she takes no vows.
Of course.
Do you think this is guilty flight?
Take the veil to escape the law? Well, she wouldn't be the first.
She'd be the first to do the deed, then turn her back on the prophet.
Cadvile, you've no need to convince me. She's no murderer. But what about the boy?
I don't think so. No more to you.
Is there anyone who might not kill given need enough? I don't know if he did it or not. But I'll tell you this. That young man is a proper, upstanding, open-hearted lad. One I might have fancied. In my fancying days.
Oh.
Now, come on. Or we'll be late for Vespers. If you're lucky, I might even pray.
Cadvile! Cadvile!
Edmund, where did you find that?
Hidden in a corner of the stable yard. It's onions.
Oh, I know. Susan Lake was better than he claimed.
What do you mean?
I spoke to him this morning.
Whatever for? Look, never mind. Cadvile, I'm worried about him. I need your help.
What brings you here so late? Out without permission again, are you?
There's news.
What news?
Abbot Rodolphus wanted you to hear it as soon as possible.
Then tell it me. not like you to hedge around the point.
We had an outsider in our infirmary, a man named Anion.
Means nothing to me.
Do you remember a brawl in the town 2 years back? The gatekeeper on the bridge was knifed.
And Sheriff Prescott hanged the man who did it.
Do you also recall the man protesting his innocence right to the very end?
Well, no, I don't, but I'm hardly surprised.
He was a Welshman, a wool trader. And this Anion is his brother. Well, half-brother. But they were as close as brothers by all accounts.
Were they?
A half-Welsh is Welsh enough to look on revenge as a sacred duty. If the chance ever came his way.
And you're telling me this man was at the Abbey when Prescott was brought there helpless?
He was. And only a door between them.
Cadfael.
Well, there's more. We had word of a stick or crutch heard going into the sheriff's room. Anion was brought to us because his broken leg refused to knit. He walked with a crutch.
My God. Wait. Wait, you know every soul who passes through that infirmary. This is no sudden new development that's brought you rushing here to tell me about it.
No.
Then what's happened? Did you speak to him? Confront him? Cadwell, did you accuse him of the murder?
Not openly, no. But yes, I talked to him.
And?
The man's gone. Disappeared.
You allowed the sheriff to lay unguarded within feet of a man with every reason to hate him. You never once mentioned this man, this Welshman, to me. You're given information that proves his guilt. And now you tell me you frightened him away.
Herbert!
Lord!
Sergeant Borden!
The hunt went forth at dawn. But all parties came back with the dark, empty-handed. Anion had contrived to vanish completely. That was the day they buried the sheriff. Half the nobility of the Shire was there to do him honour, and whatever personal enemies Gilbert Prescott might have made in his passing, he had both his due and his people's weighty and deserved intercession for him with his God.
No, nothing yet.
You've set a watch along the border.
With what few men I can spare. I do still have a war to fight and a shire to protect. In any case, I don't doubt he's well over the dike by now.
You, taking fright and running isn't proof of guilt.
You can't brush aside what's happened, Cadwell.
I'm only too well aware of what's happened and of who's to blame if I try to deny it.
Maybe not.
Nor will I in the future. But I'm also aware of those threads in my pillbox. Blue and rose and gold hue. Where did this cattleman get cloth as rich as that to snuff out his brother's killer?
By trade. By theft. By a dozen other ways.
The Lady Mellicent was told about this Anion and about his grudge against her father.
How does she react?
Like marble. Her mind's unchanged. Ellis is the killer. Where is he? Secure in his cellar?
No. I've given him back the run of the castle. And his brother. On their pledge not to leave.
And have you posted a guard on the gates?
I have, yes.
In case Ellis makes a run for freedom. So you're not entirely convinced of Anion's guilt?
For God's sake, ma'am, will you leave off telling me what I think?
Do you think he did it? Who? This cattleman. How should I know? Well, everybody else thinks so. Including you. Well, I think that if I were like him, a good reason to kill and no family to stand up for me, I'd have run whether I did it or no.
He'll be home now in any case. Safe.
He's not shivering in a ditch somewhere like a frightened fox.
Why should he be? If he didn't do it.
Perhaps he did. He had cause. Like me, remember?
From Owain Gwynedd, by the grace of the Lord God, ruler of the provinces of North Wales, greetings. We have received word of the death of the Lord Gilbert Prescott, and mourn with you and with his family. In the matter of a death so brought about, our own honor is at stake. We have no other prisoner to exchange for Ellis Ap Canan, nor will we lift a finger to deliver him until both guilty and innocent are known. On the wider matters which concern us both, hear these words. The enemies of King Stephen will know by now of the Lord Prescott's end. Their armies are
south towards your land and ours. The Lord Berenger will ride forth with a fair force of arms to aid us in reinforcing the border. He will be helping both himself and us against our common foe.
My lord, the prince asks that you set forth as soon as maybe. If you can be at Rida Croisi in 2 days' time, he will meet you there, and this alliance may be made true. If you are so minded.
Very firmly so minded.
Good day to you, brother.
And to you, friend.
You here to see the sheriff?
No, I'm delivering these herbs for the Lady Prescott. And a medicine for her son, for his cough.
I'll send word to say you're here.
Why, thanks.
Herbert, those blades have to be ready by tonight.
I've given the orders.
The provisions for the advance guard.
Will be packed by dawn.
And the main force.
By noon, as ordered. It's all in hand, my lord.
I'm sorry, Herbert. I know full well you can handle things.
Now and while you're away.
Remember the first time I was left in charge? Seems like a lifetime ago. Wait for me in the armory.
Sir.
You're moving, then. North.
North.
And making quite a show.
With luck, that's all it'll need to be.
The Empress's men threatening the border.
They know that Prescott's dead.
And think the Shire in disorder. They don't know you.
So it seems.
And this time they did. And Owain's Gwynedd, too.
God in heaven, Cadwal. Does everyone in town and Abbey know about this alliance?
My Lord Berenger!
My Lord! Oh.
My Lord, is it true?
You're taking the army to the border? There's going to be war?
Is it with Wales?
Wales is in no danger from me, nor I from Wales.
My lord, you must keep an eye to Owain's brother and his rebels.
With all this excitement and threat from England, they think it's safe to move abroad again.
Godric's Ford, the nunnery. My lord, you must keep watch on them.
Do you know how many men I lost at Lincoln? Perhaps you can tell me how to spread half a company of soldiers across three times a company's span.
Cadwal went back through the town to the abbey, with a likeness before his mind's eye, curiously memorable and deeply disturbing. More like than twins, more close than brothers, Ellis and Elliot seemed to him bizarre mirror images, the bright side and the dark side of the same being. Hugh's forces, his archers and men-at-arms and supply wagons left the next day, and an uneasy quiet descended on town and abbey. Nothing was to be done but go on with the daily routine of work and leisure and worship and wait and think. Cadwal found himself thinking steadily and deeply about Gilbert Prescott's death, and about the two missing pieces that held the whole puzzle together.
The missing gold pin, Father, and the cloth. The murder weapon.
It distresses me that you concern yourself with such matters, brother.
There are so many souls who need to have this business resolved for their comfort.
Well, that's true enough, God knows.
Either that cloth is still here amongst us, or else it's been taken out of our walls.
All our searching has failed to find it.
Then taken it must have been, by someone who left openly and with sanction.
One of the Welsh soldiers, Lord Ithel and his captains. We know they did no murder.
Now perhaps they took the cloth without realizing it.
But they would have found it eventually, surely, and sent us word.
They wouldn't have had any cause. I only found the threads after they'd been allowed to leave.
So they have no way of knowing its importance.
Exactly.
And you think it might be well to speak with the Lord Ithel? You wish to do this yourself?
Only at your will, Father.
I shall pray for enlightenment, brother. Come to me tomorrow and we'll speak again.
Yeah!
Brothers. Brothers, word has just reached me from the castle. The village of Minsterley, which falls into our care, was attacked late yesterday by a band of brigands come out of Wales. We have news of 2 deaths and many injuries, though details are not yet known. Brother Edmund, you will prepare the infirmary in case of need. Brother Ansel, you will send word to the Lord Berenger's deputy that I will receive him at noon today. Brother Cadwyle, you will attend me after chapter.
By all accounts, it was no more than a tentative probe.
2 more deaths, Cadwyle.
We should thank God it was only 2. These rebels are simply feeling their strength. For now.
This conference in the north, Lord Berenger and the Welsh Prince, they would be the better informed if they knew of the raid.
There is a mutual interest.
Lord Ethel and his captains...
will certainly be with the Prince. Or close by.
You know where the meeting is to take place?
I do, Father.
Then I send you as my envoy. Take the news of the raid to Owain Gwynedd and to Hugh Berenger, and make what searches you must for the missing gold in the cloth.
Thank you, Father.
I want this death in our abbey reconciled and purged. I want God's peace within my walls, and I want the debt paid. Go.
Cadwyle chose the best horse from the abbey's stable, called at the castle for official permission to leave the town, and set off across the Welsh Bridge, and so northwest. All the colours had changed since last he rode through this country. The trees had begun to soften, and on the lofty, rounded summits beyond, the snow was gone, and the bleached pallor of last year's grass showed the elusive tint of new life. In Wales, it was already spring. Cadwyle arrived at his destination to find the meeting done and the allies departed. He turned his horse and headed for Owain's headquarters in the east at the manor of Tudur ap Rhys at Tregarrig. There he would wait for Owain and for Hugh, and there he must meet once more Christina ap Rhys, whose deep love for Ellis and long-held expectations of marriage and happiness he must cruelly shatter.
Brother Cadwyle, it is you. They told me there was a brother come from Shrewsbury, and I hope that...
Easy now, catch your breath.
Oh, I'm sorry.
For what? Because you're anxious about Ellis? Why apologize for that?
Ellis? Yes, yes, of course. Both of them. There have been all sorts of rumors. You must tell me the truth. We won't be disturbed in here.
Christina.
Tell me the truth, brother.
How much do you already know?
The English lord died, and they say it was no simple death, not from wounds or weariness.
They say true.
And all those who are not proven blameless must stay there as prisoners until the murderer is found, Welsh or English.
Also true.
But what's been done to find the killer? What's been done to set them free? Doesn't anyone know who did this deed? Hasn't any finger been pointed yet?
There's no proof against one man more than another. There's no help for it but to wait.
Wait! That's all I've been doing! Are they well? Are they together, Ellis and Elliot?
They are, and at liberty within the castle walls.
But can't you give me any hope? When's he going to come home?
Child.
At least some good has come of this.
Sometimes things change beyond our power to stop them.
At least I've purged my own soul. I'll have no more lies and secrecy.
There are many things you don't know.
I've always known how much he loved me.
I think you should prepare yourself.
But he couldn't bring himself to undo what was done when we were children, so now I've done it for him.
What?
I've spoken to my father, and to his.
You spoke to his father? His father?
I said so.
But Ellis ap Cynan had no father. 2 young men... closest twins, a bride destined for one of them, and love shared deeply and wildly and ready to be declared. If only a mistaken bond could be honourably dissolved. All that Cadwal had seen, all that he had known, he had misread it utterly.
Brother Cadwal, welcome once more.
My lord Owain. Beneletsui the Vardluiz.
Bebaniath Ichteletsui. I understand you bring news of my brother and his activities.
For your ears and those of Hugh Berenger, yes.
Lord Berenger is visiting some of his own settlements along the border.
Do you expect him here, my lord?
Well, that was our plan, but when, I don't know.
Then I'll give my news to him.
We'll gather after the meal.
I also have business with the Lord Ithel.
Someday I must visit this abbey whose brothers have business with princes and their lords. He shall be there.
Thank you.
My lord Owain, may I speak?
Approach.
My lord, I ask leave to declare to you my son, that you may know him and approve him.
Your name?
Griffria Plawach. My duty to your lordship.
I recall the line. I was told you had no heir.
I had, my lord, but my son was... My son is dead. I thought to be alone. But now this man has come to me declaring his birth and proving it. I've acknowledged him mine and brought him into my kinship.
Bring him forward.
My lord, I present to you my son.
Dumal.
Brother?
You know this man, Cadwal?
I do, my lord. And I would ask him a question.
What question?
I would ask him where and how he came by that.
All eyes at the high table followed Cadwal's unwavering gaze. And all eyes saw, in the red reflected glow of torchlight and firelight, the great gold clasp securing the homespun cloak about the shoulders of Anion the cattleman.
God's breath!
I see the Lord Ithel recognizes it too. That's a handsome clasp on your cloak there, Anion. Gold, if I'm not mistaken.
My gold? I had it made for me.
Yours? What? No!
Explain yourself, boy.
Yes, explain! Thief!
I'm no thief! My Lord Prince!
Put up the swords. Good. Now, I shall have justice here. Lord Ithel, speak first.
My lord, that clasp is mine. There isn't another like it in the land. I thought I'd lost it on the road. Now, I see it again.
Very well. Brother Cadwal.
I know this man, Anion, my lord. And I'm here in part to search for that very gold. That clasp vanished from Gilbert Prescott's chamber on the day he was murdered.
Then you found more than the gold, brother. This man is Prescott's killer.
No, no!
Well, the Lord Ithel isn't the only one who thinks so. Anion ap Griffri is being hunted by half the Shire.
And you have found him. Hugh Berenger chose his man well. Speak, Anion ap Griffri.
I didn't kill my lord, nor did I steal. I took a price that was owed me. But that's what I thought. Oh, God. I planned to give it to my father.
What do you mean, you took a price?
My lord, I...
He means, my lord, that he thought the gold was Gilbert Prescott's.
Yes!
Brother, do you speak for this man after accusing him?
I made no accusation. Yes, I'll speak for him. ...'s death and hanged for it. By Gilbert Prescott.
And was it fairly done?
It was a street brawl. The men were drunk, who knows? But this is certain. Here in Wales, he would not have been hanged.
A blood price would have paid it.
A blood price? Anion knew that, and carried the grudge, and did nothing until chance put him and Gilbert Prescott in our infirmary together.
The only brother I ever had. Prescott owed my family a life.
And a life you took?
No. Maybe he went in there to kill.
But I don't believe he did so.
I saw him. He was brought so low. Weak and old and weary. All I could feel was sadness.
Time and chance had done your vengeance for you.
Yes.
But you saw another way. Lord Ithel gave his cloak to Warm Prescott. It was still there. And so was the clasp.
I thought it was his. How could I know?
So you took it. To clear the debt and the grudge. And ran away out of terror when the murder was discovered.
Yes.
And came to me and told me the tale exactly as this brother tells it.
And there's your proof, my lords. If this man had killed Gilbert Prescott blood for blood, he would have said so, openly and proudly. And his father would have praised him for the deed.
So I would, as the slayer of my son's slayer.
But he did not say so, because he did not kill. This man is no murderer.
Make a place at the table there for Gryffriath Llywarch and his son, Anion.
Oh, my God, we're honored.
Well, brother, you've an eloquent tongue,
my lord.
And you've used it to free your Lord Berenger's prime suspect. I hope you've another to offer in his place.
Dead Man's Ransom was written by Ellis Peters and dramatized by Bert Cools. The narrator was Michael Kitchen. It featured Philip Maddock as Brother Cadvile, Jonathan Taffler as Hugh, Susanna York as Sister Magdalene, Jason Hughes as Ellis, Katie Ody as Lady Mellicent, Sean Probert as Owain, Trevor Peacock as Rodolphus, Mark Lewis Jones as Eliud, Sean Prendergast as Edmund, Ithel and Herbert, Siobhan Flynn as Christina, Douglas Blackwell as Griffrey, and Matthew Morgan as Anion. The music was by Peter Salem, the producer, Neil Cargill.